Turn in your Bibles, Matthew 6. If you want God, you got to climb the mountain of God. You're not going to find the fullness of God dwelling here. You dwell with him there. He comes down and ministers here. You dwell with him there. Your faith can build into the Father. But his glory is costly. To dwell in God's mountain, you can't be having a whole lot of things around you that distract. We're going to continue in this kingdom exchange, and we looked at the Lord's prayer life and what happened with him. We looked at three major examples. One was the garden. He went in and he was in a major struggle. He had to go three different times to the Father. He came back out. He was still in a struggle. Heaviness, weightiness, his sweat was great. His flesh was resisting the cross. He knew what was going to happen. And he knew that he could not do what God called him to do in his own strength. He knew he had obtained his Father's grace to do it. But his flesh was under weighty, weighty heaviness, resisting all of that. And three different times he had to go back into the garden. Then the third time he obtained. He come out with the power of God on him. Judas shows up about the time he comes out, wrong time to show up. Judas and all his captors and the power of God hit them and they all fell out. I mean, how are you going to betray somebody with the power of God that's knocked you down? You know, he was telling him, he goes, look, basically when the power hit him, he goes, I'm freely giving you this. Don't think that you have power over me. He slapped the ear of Malchus back on him. He said, don't you think I could call upon my Father? 12 legions of angels will show up right now. See, that's where grace is on you. He had the Father. He had the glory. He had the Holy Ghost on him. He didn't go to the cross by himself. He said, you will all leave me alone, but I am not alone. My Father's with me. Because when you're all scattered, I'm not alone. But he had to get that, just like you and I do. You're going to have to learn to do life, ministry, calling, destiny. You're not going to be able to do it in your own strength. You're going to learn that. And then you have to learn to do it in his strength. Most of us learn we can't do it on our own. We're still trying to learn how to do it with him. Amen? We have portions of his grace, but I don't want portion grace. I want fullness. Say fullness. Then we saw the Mount of Transfiguration where he went into the mountain of God and the glory of God came on him, lit him up. I think that happened to him quite often because when he came down off that mountain, he immediately healed that boy. But nobody saw that glory when he came off the mountain. They only saw it in the mountain. Amen. He brought Peter, James, and John to testify of that glory. And so I want to continue in this, what the Holy Ghost opened up today. The worst thing you can ever do is replace the glory of God for what man can do. As soon as you do, you disqualify yourself for the glory. That's what's wrong with the church. They don't know how to obtain it, so they just replace it with their own sufficiency, and they call it God. When you do that, it sets up a system that people get born again and they think this is what God looks like. And so they follow into that system. And so not only do we engage a system, those that are following engage a system, and you get generational systems built like that. It's called religion. Not all of it's bad. Everyone is doing the best they can at times. But the thing you have to do is you got to keep following and you keep learning. And we stay before the Holy Ghost until we get the job done. Amen? Till we learn how the kingdom works. God is not a man. He can lie. If he said it, it's true. The problem is not with God. Look at your neighbor and say, the problem's not with God. Go figure. Amen? Men that attained this, they could line up 100 people in wheelchairs and walk down the line and the glory of God hit them. Just bam, 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 bam. And Jesus, that man, they tore the roof off the house. See, that's the desperation of humanity. Nobody's tearing the roof off this place. But when the power of God comes, they'll tear the roof off. Not yet, amen? Just don't tear that roof off, right? They will tear the roof off to get in. His own mom and sisters couldn't even get in. They couldn't get in the house. They said, tell him his mom's outside. He goes, who are my mother? Who's my mother? Those that serve the Lord. They that serve my Father. That's my mother, my brethren, my sisters. When they tore the roof off, he healed that man. He said, which is easier? Say your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? Because he understood how the Father was with him and the power of the Holy Ghost was with him. He had that on him. So it was just as easy to say your sins are forgiven as it was to get off of that deathbed. Rise and take your bed up. Peter learned how to do that. Peter learned how to raise the dead. He didn't raise the dead, but he learned that operation. He did it just like the Lord did it. He pulled them out of the room. He removed the room and raised them from the dead. He knew because he had it on him. Amen. When he raised that man at Gate Beautiful, that man was looking at armed. Peter fastened his eyes on him. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have. Say what I have. In the name of Jesus. Right. He had it. You're not going to get those kind of miracles without having it. If you're trying to get it while you're trying to get that miracle, you won't get very many of them like that. Those kind, you already have to have it on you. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what we're learning. Kingdom exchange. Say kingdom exchange. How to have it. How to get it. Amen. So Matthew 6. Now this is the Lord's Prayer. He keeps bringing me back to his prayer. I said, Lord, we've done a lot around this Lord's Prayer. He says, yeah, but you haven't got it yet. Now we know Matthew 6:6 is a very primary key verse. It's a positional verse. All your praying must be done beyond the veil. When you prayest, enter in the closet, shut the door. Amen. And your Father, which is there, will see you there. So wherever you're going to pray, the Father's present. You're not in this jurisdiction. That's not a natural door. That's the doorway of the world system. You move into position. Ever say position? Kingdom of God is about position. Then he gets into the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a recital, though we've made it. That's not really what he was teaching. Those are their components. If the Lord's Prayer was just meant to recite, my God, the kingdom of God would already been in the earth. We would already had revival 100 times over because we pray it. We have it all the time. Amen. So verse 9, he gets into the Lord's Prayer. This is after this manner, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing about the Lord's Prayer is the Lord's going to introduce, the Holy Ghost is going to introduce you to Jesus. Jesus is going to introduce you to the Father. The Father's going to introduce you to love. Amen. Your Father, our Father, we're going to know him as Father. We're going to know his love. That is a primary operation of God. He wants you to know his love. He wants to love you. Amen. Not just visit you with love. He wants you to dwell in love. He that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. He wants you to know him as Father. He wants to dwell in the Father. It don't take very many encounters in the love of the Father for him to radically transform your whole foundation. He can jerk out 40 years and put 40 years in you in a matter of weeks and the power and the transformation of that love. So he's Father and there's fellowship. Hallowed be the name. There's worship. They that worship will worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. You're in Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to bring you into the Father. You worship him where he is. Amen. You worship him in spirit, in fullness, in truth, and we fellowship and we dwell. These are major operation of prayer, amen? Sometimes you'll spend a long time, God will spend a long time introducing us into this realm of intimacy. Like John said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus. He is very intent on bringing us into this kind of fellowship, amen? This kind of intimacy, because it's our foundation. Love is our foundation. Intimacy is our foundation. Worship, fullness, that's relationship, amen? The major foundational component of prayer is position, then relationship. Position, then communion. Position, then oneness. Then he's going to get into the kingdom, amen? The kingdom, say the kingdom. This is what I want to talk tonight about, the kingdom. That's what we all want to see, is the kingdom, not church, the kingdom. Amen? There's a big difference between church and the kingdom. The kingdom, when it manifests, it's called the gospel of astonishment. When the kingdom shows up, you're not going to be left the same. Amen. Nobody is. Whether you're a direct recipient of the kingdom or you're watching the demonstration of the kingdom, the kingdom will always come with demonstration. That's the way the kingdom works. Amen. So he talks about this exchange component of the kingdom. What I want to get into tonight. Notice what he says, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth. This is our jurisdiction, as it is in heaven. Now, notice what happened there in that prayer. There is a realization the Holy Spirit must bring us to that everything God has ever done about humanity, about us, about our promises, about the kingdom, about our future, has already been accomplished in heaven. The Father's will already is 50% accomplished. I'll say it like this. The Father's will is absolutely accomplished as heaven's concerned. Before the cross, it was not accomplished. After the cross, it was accomplished in Christ. Everything was already done. That's why it says, he that entereth into the Lord's rest has ceased from his own works. Because when he sat down, he said he forever sat down at the right hand of the Father. He finished the work. So he finished it. Even under the law in Exodus, because Moses was foreshadowing, it said Moses had finished the tabernacle and then the glory filled it. As soon as he said he finished, I'll show you that scripture later. He finished it and the glory filled it. Amen. When Jesus finished it, he finished it. So when we're praying, the first thing we have to understand is we're not getting God to do something new. When he said, I do a new thing in Isaiah, Christ was the new thing. He is, he was, and is to come. Amen. Here's another thing. Your future, every single promise that God has ever given you has already been fulfilled in Christ. He's already fulfilled every single promise. When he told me that, I said, you know, I got 178 pages worth of promises. 25 years, God. In that Constitution, and the Father spoke to me, he said, and I've already fulfilled all of that in Christ. That's a revelation. You got to get a revelation that when God, Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you have to have a revelation, first of all, when you're praying to the Father, you're not getting him to do something new. He's already done it. That's the first thing you got to understand. Well, Father, if it be your will. You can't pray like that as a mature person. Only people who wear their Pampers get to pray like that. You don't get that luxury when you get mature in God. You don't say, if it be thy will. You got to know his will. When you approach the Father, you have to understand you're approaching the Supreme Court of heaven. Whether you can see it, there's millions of angels and the great cloud of witnesses has gone before you, and everything, the whole foundation of the kingdom of heaven operates from his word. He cannot lie. His word is truth. What he said about your situation. So when you're praying, you have to understand the very first thing you're going to do about praying is you need to identify the fact that he's already fulfilled your promise. Identify where he fulfilled it. Identify how he fulfilled it. Identify, well, God's called me to reach the nations. I will set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, son, as the nations for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth possession. Paul said in Acts chapter 13 that was speaking of Christ. Psalms 2 was speaking of Christ. He already received the nations as his inheritance. He went before the Ancient of Days. The Bible says there was given him a dominion and a glory and a kingdom. And it was an everlasting kingdom. It's already been given. Dominion's already been given. He said himself, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Worthy is the Lamb. That's a favorite around here. To ever receive what? Power. I need to hear from the Lord. Wisdom. I need his blessing. Riches. I'm weak. I need some strength, glory, honor, blessings. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We can go on and on and on. You identify that Christ has already inherited these things. Another thing about kingdom exchange is you have to cease from your own labors. As long as you're trying to work it, it'll cut you off from grace. You have to learn very quickly how to surrender your sufficiency and realize I can't do it. That's a really good place, but that you can't camp there either. How many of you realize in this life you can't do it? Raise your hand. That's a great place to be, but you can't camp there. That's only phase one. Phase two is a little more difficult. Now, how do I get him into my situation? So there's an exchange that takes place. So when we go to the Father and say, thy kingdom come, what does that look like? Thy will be done on the earth as it already is done in heaven. So it's almost like an ask type decree. I was kind of asking the Father when he showed me, you know, I've already done what you're asking me for. I'm like, well, then why do you ask? Tell us to ask? In John 14, you said to ask. In John 15, you said to ask. In John 16, you said to ask when we get in your presence. So if you already did this, what are we asking you for? It's a pretty good question, huh? Why am I going to ask him to do something he's already done in Christ? That's how he brought me back here. He said, this is what you ask for. Ask for the transference. You ready? Of what has already been done in Christ. Say, in Christ. Everything is in a name. It's in a trust. It's laid up under the name of Jesus. We're asking, notice what, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. Asking what? Kingdom to come. You're not asking him to do it. Say, Father, let the kingdom come. He's already done it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's already done it. He's already healed your body. It's all a matter of how that transfer works. Do you know that God does not directly transfer healing glory directly to your body? Unless it's through a ministry. You can do it that way. There is a transference mechanism. That's what we're getting into now. And now he's teaching this. It means he's about to bring us into it. You notice last year was a year of intimacy, union, love. That was, hallowed be thy name, our Father which art in heaven. This year, transference, 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 transference. That means demonstration is at hand. Every year we say, is this the year? And my response is, yes, this is the year. The kingdom come. All right, so we identified the will has been done. We're asking for that will, that finished work to transfer is really what happened. Now, all of that, as we know, is in a spiritual state. So when his Father says, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, everything about the kingdom originates in the Spirit. The first thing you have to understand is you cannot originate the kingdom. Your flesh, try as it may, cannot originate the kingdom. And it cannot originate from the systems of this world. You can't originate from the system of the world and then call it the kingdom. That's not how the kingdom works. The blessing of God can come down and create something, but that's the kingdom will always originate its own. Amen? Like it gets into the boat when you haven't caught anything and it takes you out in the deep and it fills the boat. See, it originates the blessing. Amen? It originates. That's why you can't have your eye on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and think the kingdom's going to originate. You better watch that tree. It's a very deceptive tree. It likes to pull your attention. It likes to promise you stuff, but it can never deliver. To keep your eye on the tree of life, to those who have ears to hear what I just said, that is a huge, huge, that one is highly deceptive tree. Sometimes you're looking at it and you think you're looking at the tree of life. Only the Word of God can discern the difference. You'll have to discern that in the last days. Don't think he's going to not put that tree in front of you to get you to turn aside from the Lord. Anytime you're looking at anything outside of the Lord Jesus, you've already turned aside. Amen? The kingdom's going to come to those who do not turn aside. The kingdom is going to come to those who do not turn around. Listen, you can turn aside and have a nice Christian life, especially in America. For right now, you can at least. You can have a nice ministry and turn aside. But God wants the kingdom, amen? If you want the key, we have to keep our eyes fixed. The kingdom's already been fulfilled in Christ. When the Father says, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, he's bringing that out of Christ. Amen. Now, I want you to go to John 16. Put your finger in John 16. I'll quote the other verses. Amen. Colossians 1:19 says, it pleased the Father that in him all, say all, fullness should dwell. In Colossians 2, it said, in him dwelleth all fullness bodily, and then we are complete in him, it says. Now, when he says all fullness, it means everything the Father had, he gave to him. It say it dwells in him. Now, this is important to understand how kingdom transference works. Because I'm going to share something with you in a minute that scriptures you have read a long time and understood a long time, I'm going to explain to you what's actually happening. John 1 says, of his fullness, we are all receiving, say receiving, grace upon grace. Now, when you're before the Father praying and decreeing, asking, decreeing, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, God is not going to bypass you. Not in this type of realm. Amen? Now we're getting in the true transference here. You will not be bypassed. God's not going to take the kingdom and throw it out there somewhere. That kingdom is spiritual in state, but it's going to change. It's going to transform. We are going to see it. Amen. Hallelujah. That kingdom's going to transfer to you first. When God transfers that kingdom come, you're literally decreeing that kingdom come. Where's it going to come? It's coming to you. Because you're the one going to bring it back from the realm you're dwelling in. I'm going to show this to you. Amen. Now, John 16, speaking of the Holy Ghost, now, it's amazing. You're praying to the Father in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost is going to do this. All three of them always have a part in everything that happens. It's not like their Father's sitting up there and all this stuff. They all have a part, and they like having a part. They're all in it. Amen? It helps understand each one of their roles. What's going on here? Thank God the Word of God tells us what's going on. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The first thing the Holy Ghost is going to do before kingdom transference takes place, he's going to guide you into truth. He's going to guide you into the way. He's going to guide you in the Lord Jesus. He's going to teach you about Jesus. He's going to teach you about where he dwells. He's going to teach you about relationship with him. He's going to guide you into the Lord. Amen. And he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that he'll speak. And he what? He says he'll show you things to come. We found out things doesn't exist. In the original Greek, there is no things. They added that. He will show you to come. He'll show you how. You know what come means? Ekrakomei, how to transfer from one place to another. It's the same word as saying thy kingdom come. It's just two different things going. First, you're going there. The secondly, it's coming to you. He shows you how to come. The Holy Spirit is going to show you how to transfer jurisdictional boundaries. He's going to show you how to dwell where Christ is. When the Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor. Ho, any man thirst, come to the waters. All of these invitations to come, come, come. You don't think he's going to send you a teacher to show you how to do that? You think he's going to leave it to us just to learn how to do that? God's not going to leave it to your understanding how to transfer jurisdictional boundaries. You'll get in a lot of trouble trying to figure that out in your head. Spirits will come and help you out. He sent his Holy Ghost to teach you
to guide you in the truth. He sent his Holy Ghost to teach you how to come to where he is. That was the whole subject. He'll show you how to come to where I am. Where I am, there shall you be also. It's a necessity to you come to where I am because that's where the transfer is made. Amen? And then he shifts into another operation of the Holy Ghost. He's got a lot of operation. Holy Ghost is quite busy in the kingdom. Verse 14. Now this is real important you listen to this verse. Because I'm going to share some verses with you in a minute. It says, he shall what? Glorify me. What is the Holy Spirit's job? He's going to lead you to Christ. He's going to glorify Christ. When you get to the Lord, what is his job? He's going to lead you to the Father and he's going to glorify the Father. It's all about reconciliation to the Father. As far as fellowship, union goes. God is all about union. We've already talked about that. He wants the union, but then he wants his kingdom. Even the demonstration is designed for people to come to the Lord. So he said, he'll glorify me. That's his job. He will receive of mine. Now here's transference. Because the Holy Ghost is a major part of the transference here. He shall, in the Amplified, I like the Amplified, it says he will show it. Amplified says he will declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to you. Amen? Say declare, disclose, transmit. Verse 15, all things, Jesus said, that the Father hath is mine. Say all things. That's what he showed me. He said, it all is in the Lord's hand. I said, well, then what are we asking you for, Father? I mean, if it's all in his hand, should we be asking him? He said, no, the Father is ultimately the one that gives the command. What's the Father looking for? One word only, faith. Position faith. He's looking for faith. Amen. You have to be with him. All things the Father has in mind, therefore I said, he shall receive of mine. He will declare it to you. He's going to disclose it to you. He's going to transmit it to you. He's going to take everything that's mine. Now, we're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about inheritance. We're talking about things that we want to operate, function, and manifest into the earth. Say, it's all in Christ. All healing and all power and all creative miracles have already been fulfilled in Christ. He holds all that power in him, in his name. It's all been given to him. All salvation of whole nations is already in him. He's already inherited them. That's why when the Holy Ghost got turned loose in the book of Acts, 3,000 born again, bam, 5,000 born again. Holy Ghost was harvesting the inheritance that was already given to the Lord. When he gets turned loose properly, he's going to get the job done. Amen. Our job is to get transference. His job is to come upon our tabernacle and manifest it. Are you ready? Now, he's going to be doing the transmitting, amen, of the kingdom. Or you can call it fullness. Or you can call it inheritance. Or you can call it glory. All of this is finished in Christ, and it's going to transfer out of him at the command of the Father by the Holy Ghost, and it's going to transfer into you. Say, into you. When you say, it's very important you understand this. When you say, thy kingdom come, you better get ready because it's coming to you first. It's going to fill you up first. It's going to transfer to you. That's why you can't be all messed up inside and being unworthy and think a kingdom's going to flow to you. You got to know who you are. That's why you got to know he's my Father. I got to be loved. I got to get some stuff straightened out in here. Because he's going to transfer the kingdom. Now, while we're learning this, he puts the gift realm on you. So you can walk and operate in the gift and function in the kingdom while we're learning how to operate in the fullness. Amen. We're getting real close to fullness. How close? It's our year. When he starts teaching into these things, you know. Amen? I know when he starts teaching, that's time. When he started teaching about union, he brought us into union. If he's talking about transference, he's going to bring us into transference. I'm pretty excited about that. Well, you know, God will do it when he gets ready. The problem with that mindset, he's already done it. He already was ready. He was already moved by the world's needs. Believe it or not, that kind of mindset is a dishonor to the sacrifice of Christ. Because it says it wasn't enough. And it is enough. Say it's enough. I want you to go to Acts chapter 6. Now, remember when I said to you, the Holy Ghost, when he makes transferences, he does not glorify himself. That is not his ministry. He is in a servant ministry like you and I are when it comes to the kingdom. He has taken that role of a servant. Now, he is here. Kind of Jesus is the head of the church, and he is a major representative, but he is a servant. He takes that role. You have to understand that he does not glorify himself. That's why when you try to worship, I don't care what anybody says, when you try to worship the Holy Ghost, it feels very awkward to do that. You can honor him, thank him, and adore him, fellowship with him, dwell with him. When you try to directly worship him, even though he is God, under this dispensation, your spirit will feel quite awkward about that, because that is not the dispensation. He is sent right now to glorify the Lord Jesus, so he's going to turn that worship to the Lord right now. And the Lord's going to turn it to the Father, because his ministry is to turn and glorify the Father. He said, glorify me, Father, that I may glorify you. The Lord's always going to bring you to the Father. The Holy Ghost is always going to bring you to Jesus. That's just what they do. That's their roles. Amen. Acts 6, now, verse 3. But the Holy Spirit, though he takes the role of a servant, he is power. Say power. Pure, raw power. He's also gentle as a dove. Very sensitive. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. We're going to look at Stephen in a minute. I want to look at Stephen in several different lights here, because he is a prime example. He was not an apostle. He was a businessman. But he had the power of God on him. Amen? And there were certain things about Stephen that we can find out. The man knew God. The whole early church did. They were taught by apostles that were directly taught by the Lord. The Lord did not leave them unlearned. He taught them for 3.5 years, day in and day out. Then he sent them his Holy Ghost. And they were before God in prayer day and night. They were very learned and understand the things of the kingdom of God. Peter was operating in the things of God immediately when the Holy Ghost come upon him. We saw that in Acts chapter 3. He says, such as I have, he already knew how to get the power of God on him. And he was far from being perfect. A lot of people think, well, when I'm perfect, God will give me the power. Look at Peter. He was far from perfect. The Lord even prophesied to him, another's going to undergird you, Peter. Right now, self's kind of ruling your life. But another's going to undergird you, the unconditional love of the Father. He's going to undergird you. You're going to make it, Peter. Do you know how he died? Yeah, he actually was delivered from the city. He was walking out of the city. They were trying to find him and kill him. He's walking out of the city, and he saw a vision of the Lord. And the Lord said, I've come again. And he stretched out the crucified. Peter turned around and walked back into the city freely. Another shall undergird thee, Peter, which you couldn't do in the flesh, because he said, I'll give my life to you. He freely gave his life. He turned around and gave his life. They didn't take it. He gave it. He said, crucify me upside down. That was a man full of self and a lot of himself, but God used him mightily. But he made the whole progression. All of them did. Very powerful generation. The mighty Holy Ghost is sitting right now in the right hand of God in the form of 7 torches and 7 horns and 7 eyes of authority. And he's about to release again in a brand new way. He's already sitting upon Christ, because Christ has already inherited it. God is about to have the greatest display of demonstration ever before he takes his church out. The world's going to know. They'll have to reject him. But the world's going to be very dark at this hour. The church is going to be full of light. Amen. Acts 6, verse 3. So wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full, say, of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Say, full of the Holy Ghost. Peter being filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul standing in front of that sorcerer said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he spoke. Said they were filled, then they operated. Describes it again. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Say, full of faith and power. full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And great wonders and miracles were wrought among the people. And Stephen wasn't even an apostle. He was a ministry of helps. But he had administration. Then there rose certain of synagogue called Synagogue of Libertine and the Cyrenians, Alexandrians. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke. So he was full. Now look at verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Wonder why they described that like that. These men were hardened people. They're about to kill him. Yet they could see the glory of God on him. He was so full of the Holy Ghost and so full of the Spirit of God, it changed his countenance just like it did. Because I've been telling you, the Mount of Transfiguration belongs to us. It's the same thing that happened to the Lord on that mountain. Stephen was displaying the glory of God. It was on him. And they could see it. When the Bible says full of the Holy Ghost, let's take that back to John 16 for a minute. The Bible says he does not glorify himself. He does not speak of himself. So when they're full of him, what is it they are full of? What is he actually filling them with? Well, filling him with power. Filling him with his spirit. Filling him with wisdom. Where is it coming from? These men knew how to operate in the mystery of kingdom exchange. They knew how to, in fact, even the daily administration of the widows, the apostles would not even come out of prayer. They chose these men so they could stay before the Lord. And they went in and they obtained a transference from the Father out of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says he was full of the Holy Ghost, he was filled, listen to this very carefully, with the fullness that was coming out of Christ. What did Jesus say? All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. When the Holy Ghost operates, he's operating under the authority of Christ. When that transference come, when they were before the Father, that transference of fullness was coming out of Christ. And the Holy Ghost was transferring the kingdom. Transferring, what I say, when you say thy kingdom come, who does it come to first? You. Study their miracles. When the Holy Ghost fell, they were all filled with the Spirit. Then they operated. They didn't operate on half tanks. The Holy Ghost was taking the fullness of Christ, the inheritance of Christ, the kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, and he was transferring that to them. And he was filling their temple up with it. And when he filled their temple up with it, all they had to do was speak. And he would draw that out of them and heal people. All they had to do is decree and he would draw them out. When Paul was standing before the sorcerer, Elimaeus, he was trying to prophesy to that deputy. That sorcerer was trying to withstand him. And the Bible says Paul was full, say full, of the Holy Ghost. That's your mystery. No, I'm just going to wait till I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You just missed everything I just said. Father, we're just going to wait for the Holy Ghost to come and fill us. No, you're waiting on the Holy Ghost to come upon you in the gift realm. That is not what I'm talking about. These men knew how to go in so much so that it altered Stephen's countenance. You don't get the face of an angel of the glory of God with a radiant glory of God. You don't get that unless you're in the glory of God's presence. He went in to the Father. He went in to the Lord. And there was a transference. What did the Lord say? My glory I give to you. That glory was transferred to Stephen. And the Holy Ghost lit him up with it. Lit his countenance up. Lit his spirit up. And he was full of wisdom. He was full of power. He was full of the glory. They couldn't even resist the spirit by which he was speaking because it wasn't him. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth. Holy Ghost was transferring the kingdom to them. That's how this revival is going to work. There's going to be a transference in the. That's why you go there. If we didn't have to go there, then why would we just give? He's just going to drop it on us. Then why do you have to go to him? Why do you got to be in position? Why do you need kingdom transference? He's just going to, he'll just drop it when he gets ready. Just cut out half the New Testament. Cut out John 14, 15, 16. Don't need it if he's just going to fall on us. Don't need 14, 15, 16, 17. Just cut the upper room out. Because that's not how it works. And they were full. Say full. What the Bible says. What did he say in John 16? Very carefully. He said, he will glorify me. He will not speak of himself. He will glorify me. He, the Holy Spirit, will what? Receive of mine everything the Father's given me. And he will what? Declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to you. So if it's power, miracles, signs, wonders, what did Jesus said? All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Holy Ghost will receive of what is in me. He will declare it, disclose it, and he'll transmit it to you. When he filled them up with power, when he filled them up with glory, all they had to do was speak and bam. Why? You want the mystery? It was already in this jurisdiction now. These men went up. They were filled up so much so Stephen's countenance become like an angel, filled with the glory. The exact same thing that happened on the Lord with the Lord on the Mount Transfiguration. They came down with the glory on them. Look what happened. The kingdom just transferred. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth. It's already done in heaven. They carried the will of God down with them. They were walking in the will of God. The will of God was on their body. It was on their spirit. They were filled with it. And all they had to do is just decree it. And it would release and manifest. They didn't have to work at it. They didn't have to do any of that. They had to labor for it. Howl, whine, cry, moan, groan. They just decreed in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he already made the transfer. It was already in the earth. They were living epistles. They were living carriers of the glory. Put that in your peace pipe and smoke it. If he's receiving of what is the Lord's, then what he's filling them with wasn't originate with him. He was taking what was in the Lord, what the Father had given the Lord by inheritance, and he was transferring that kingdom, and they were filled with the kingdom. And when they got into the earth, and when the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, things started happening. Read how many times the book of Acts, it talked about how them being filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then things happen. Bam, 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 bam. That's how it's going to happen again. That's why you go before the Father for transference. And that's how easy it's going to be. When that glory is on you, you're going to say it's just as easy leading somebody to the Lord as getting somebody out of the wheelchair, because it's on you. What did Peter say? Silver and gold, what have I none? But what I have, I give in the name of Jesus. Rise up. How many ever stood in front of a wheelchair and shouted the name of Jesus and nothing happened? And you shouted and shouted and shouted. And they stayed in that wheelchair. He said, it's through his name and faith in his name this man stands before you whole. Peter knew how to get that power on him. How do you know? Look at Acts chapter 5. It says they brought them from beds and couches from the surrounding city and laid them down in the streets that at least the shadow of Peter would fall upon them. It didn't say the shadow of Jesus. He said the shadow of Peter. It wasn't the shadow. It was the glory of God on him. It was on him. Say it was on him. They knew because the Lord taught them how to get that glory on them. They got it by transference. And they brought it back down in this jurisdiction. And when the Holy Ghost brought that down by way of them, he transferred it off of them. That shadow, all that glory had to do was fall. Somebody better start shouting in here. Hallelujah. That glory was on Peter. It was transferred to him. He carried it. It came by the Lord's Prayer. You know that one, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It transferred. When they carried that glory was on him, and all the Holy Ghost had to do is just get somebody in the vicinity of that glory. Because it wasn't Peter's glory, it was the Lord's. It came from the Lord, transferred by the Holy Ghost. And all they had to do was touch the glory that was on them.
And that's what's about to happen to the church. That's why you got to go up and get it. That's the whole reason why you had to learn to go up, to get the transfer, so he could bring the glory down. The glory is coming down by you. Next time you pray, my friend, thy kingdom come, you better get ready, for the kingdom's coming to you first. He's going to transfer the kingdom to you that you may carry the kingdom here. And then he's going to take that kingdom off of you and heal, deliver, set free. Speak. All they had to do was speak and people were getting saved. All they had to do is open their mouth because the wisdom was already downloaded to them in that glory. They were speaking of wisdom they didn't even have. Peter got up and spoke and 3,000 people born again. That's a mega church. Next week it's 5,000. The glory was transferred. That's who you are. That's what the devil doesn't want you to know. That's why those thieves stand at the door so you never go up in the first place. In Exodus 40. Now Moses was foreshadowing Christ. Chapter 40, verse 33. At the end of verse 33 it said, so Moses finished the work. Christ finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of congregation with tabernacle. Who is the temple of God now? You are. The cloud was the Holy Ghost. Amen. He overshadowed the tent, which is you. Amen. And then the glory, what? Filled under the old. It filled the tabernacle. You are the temple. He's going to, this is, people don't understand. He's not bypassing you. Not in this kind of operation. He's going to fill you up to over, to where it so overflows, it breaks out like it did Peter. And glory broke out upon his tabernacle. He filled Peter's tabernacle. And they brought him from cities around about. All they had to do is touch that glory and they were healed. Peter was going, man, if you just knew who I was, but don't worry about it right now. I'm in Christ. John was probably the holiest out of all of them, but Peter, God used him. Now Solomon, same thing. The glory of God overshadowed the temple of Solomon. Now under Moses, it was a priesthood. Under Solomon, it was a government. The glory overshadowed Solomon's temple. The Bible says the priest could not stand in the midst of the glory. The Shekinah glory filled the tabernacle. And that was a king-priest government. And the whole world came to see it. That's the difference between you and I going to reach the world and God drawing the world to his glory. So just so you don't think we're not getting anything done because we're sitting in a church with a taco stand. We are after something that's going to open the world up. And that something has already been given to us in Christ. It's in him. It's there. When he said, my glory I give to you. Everything the Father's given me, I give to you. And I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to see that you get to where I am. And he's going to transfer it to you. And you're going to carry it from my realm back to your realm. And then the Holy Ghost is going to take it from you. Dispense it. Because he has to use your authority. Otherwise the Holy Ghost would leave you out of it and God would have already got the job done. But God's given dominion to man, so he has to use you. So he uses you as the agency of transference. And as soon as he gets in this jurisdiction, the Holy Ghost immediately says, that's not yours. That's mine. He said, that's mine. He takes that and gives it to the world. He goes, you are a servant like me. That's not your glory. Don't think just because you're the donkey he rode into, those people were praising you. It would be a sad thing for that donkey. So look at all these people, how they think about me. He just rode in on you. Amen? Sometimes us donkeys get to think we're something. Now here's something he told me today, and I'm going to share this with you. Go to Luke 17. The apostles said, Lord, increase our faith, increase the glory, increase the transference, increase the kingdom exchange. What did he say when you pray?
believe that you receive and you shall have. That's when you're with him. You're receiving the transference directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Increase our transferences. Increase the glory. Increase the power. Increase! Increase! Say increase! The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, thou be thou plucked up by the root, planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. We've already talked about the mustard seed a lot. I want this next parable. But which of you, you want an increase? Having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, would say to him by and by when he's coming from the field, go and sit down to meat. Would he not rather say to him, make ready whether I may sup, gird my thyself, serve me till I've eaten and drink? And afterwards, you can eat and drink. Say afterwards. Which of you, having a servant, and back days they had a lot of servants. He said, that servant's not going to come in from the field and go serve himself. He's going to serve the needs of his master first, because that's what he does. He goes, does he thank that servant? A trow not, he said. After you've done all his commanding, you say, we're unprofitable servants. Not unworthy. We're not serving the kingdom for profit or gain. This kingdom exchange is not for self. Now, watch this. Because he told me this today. Because there was something that came out. I don't know where it came from. I think Chuck, when I was sharing this with him, he said, what about us? Lord, I'm a servant. I mean, I get it. We're going to do this for the world. But have you noticed the condition we're in after serving you all these years? We've been servants. Notice what he said. Under the kingdom, you want the increase. If you're a servant, which servant would go serve himself first with this? What did he say? He said he would sit down first. He would serve the needs of his master. When this kingdom exchange comes, it's for the world. It's for the lost. It's for the broken. It's for the broken in church. Broken. It's for families. It's for the world. When it comes, its first mission does not have you in mind. Its first mission has the world in mind. Afterwards, after the master has had his needs met, then you can sit down and eat and drink. And he said something to me the day. He goes, when you sit down and eat and drink of these leftovers, they're not like your leftovers. These leftovers takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiplies it to 12 baskets. You don't even know what to do with the leftover. You can't even store the leftovers because it came out of a kingdom that has multiplication in it. And after you've served it, you get access to what's left on the table. Because it's in you. It's residing on you. The Holy Ghost throws that over there and creates a business for you. And throws that over there and creates blessings for you. And throws that over there and heals your whole family. And throws that over and saves your whole family. Because it's on you. Because you're first a servant, then you get access to a table of apostolic government. When his apostles, after 5 loaves and 2 fish, had 12 baskets, what are we going to do with 12 baskets? Oh, that's yours. They've already eaten. That's all yours. Come on. Let's go to the next city. They were worried about where to get it when they started. When he made that exchange with his father, they didn't even know where to put it. He said, this is the heritage of the sons of God. If you'll be a servant first to humanity and understand this glory is for mankind, you get what left over. Because it doesn't stop. Second was the 4,000. Remember the 4,000? This time, they had the loaves. Said the disciples had the 7 loaves. He said, that'll do. Same thing, multiplied it, sat them down, served all day. Guess how many baskets were left over? 7. You gave me 7 loaves, I return 7 baskets to you when I'm done. But you fed 4,000. See, a mind, a mathematical mind, looks at that and says, because the kingdom doesn't operate according to your head. That's how the kingdom works. When you receive the kingdom, know
If you'll go to God on the behalf of someone else, on the behalf of the world, to receive the kingdom, that's what I'm after. I want a revival. Then I'm going to get the fruit of it. I want a wealth transference, because that's not your money. That's my money. But afterwards, you can have access to my table, and it'll be plenty for you. See, self has to be, in the kingdom, it's all about sonship and servitude. A third one, since you asked. When Peter labored all night, he couldn't catch anything. Amen? It was still his business, though. Fishing was his business. That was his boat. It was designed to make money for his house. He was probably broke, had tons of bills. And the Lord said, that's the guy that's going to serve me. Before this day's over, that guy's going to follow me for the next 3.5 years. He probably found him broke, disgusted, and busted. Labored all night, didn't catch anything. What happened? He steps into Peter's boat. He says, now thrust out for the land, because the multitudes are pressing on him. He said, if you'll just thrust out the land, he goes, if you'll let me preach the gospel first, Peter. Say, preach the gospel. If you'll let me preach and teach out of this boat, let me put my kingdom first. The kingdom done got up in your boat. You don't know it, Peter, but the kingdom done got up in your boat. Now, the first thing he didn't do is run out there and meet all Peter's needs. He did not do that first. That's what's wrong with the body of Christ. What about me? What about me? He's got to move us in the servitude mode first. He said, Peter, I got to shift your business to servitude. Listen, if you're in business today and you don't know how to bring that business to God or give, you're out of alignment. You have to learn how to be a giver in the kingdom of God. Every great servant of God was every great man and woman of God throughout history were full of generosity. They're full of liberality. They had the Father's heart. Some of you need to open the Father's heart up. Amen. Everyone say amen. When he got in that boat, Peter's needs. Now, Peter labored all night. He had needs. That was not his first priority. That's what the problem is. We think God's going to show up. His first priority is to meet our need. It's not. The first part of the kingdom of God is to meet everyone else's needs through you. The first priority of the kingdom is to make you a servant. Now, could you imagine? I mean, Peter's in need. And Jesus said, now we're going to go preach the gospel now, Peter. The difference between we preaching the gospel now is the kingdom done got up in your boat, Peter. Now, when you preach the gospel with the kingdom, it's going to be different than preaching the gospel without the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom stepped up in his boat. He says, now we're going to preach, Peter. Now, how long they preached, because Jesus sat down and he taught and taught and taught. He liked to teach long. Praise the Lord. Keep on teaching. He liked to preach long. So he preaches. And then what happens? Peter, thank you for letting me use your business. Thank you for putting me first, Peter. You became a servant to me today. Now, it's your turn. He took him out in the deep and filled his boat and filled the other disciples' boat. Two boats full where the ships began to sink. Peter laid out on those fish and fell out on the fish and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He goes, don't worry, Peter. This is your last day fishing. He goes, now I'm going to teach you how to do this with men. When they came in, he goes, there's 3.5 years for you and your disciples. Now follow me. It's payday, boy. 3.5 years up front for being a servant. So don't think just because you're a servant, you're putting your needs last. In the kingdom, a servant will come in first. When he makes himself last, he'll come in first. Make yourself first, you'll come in last. A servant will make himself last, receive the kingdom of the half the world, and he'll end up first. Not one time can you find the kingdom showed up and it didn't bless the servant after the servant did what he was supposed to do. Second was the 4,000. Remember the 4,000? This time, they had the loaves. Said the disciples had the 7 loaves. He said, that'll do.
Same thing, multiplied it, sat them down, served all day. Guess how many baskets were left over? Seven. You gave me seven loaves, I return seven baskets to you when I'm done. But you fed 4,000. A mathematical mind looks at that and says, because the kingdom doesn't operate according to your head. That's how the kingdom works. When you receive the kingdom, know if you'll go to God on the behalf of someone else, on the behalf of the world, to receive the kingdom, that's what I'm after. I want a revival. Then I'm going to get the fruit of it. I want a wealth transference, because that's not your money. That's my money. But afterwards, you can have access to my table, and it'll be plenty for you. In the kingdom, it's all about sonship and servitude. Some of you need to open the Father's heart up. Amen. Everyone say amen. In the kingdom, a servant will come in first. When he makes himself last, he'll come in first. Make yourself first, you'll come in last. A servant will make himself last, receive the kingdom of the half the world, and he'll end up first. Not one time can you find the kingdom showed up and it didn't bless the servant after the servant did what he was supposed to do. The Lord corrected me on this. He says, don't come up here for you right now. Come up here for me. Come up here for the needs of my kingdom. It's going to work a lot better for you. And then I said, well, what about me? Then he had to show me, that's you. I said, cool. Win-win. It's a win-win, Lord. Got it. It's a win-win. Everyone say win-win. You got it. It's all about alignment. It's all about doing it God's way. He knows you have you on your mind. Even when you're doing stuff for him, he knows you've got your stuff on your mind. Don't be so holy. You're out there serving things. Every time you serve, I could have just paid my whole mortgage off with that. I could have just paid off my car with that. And you let it go. You're not giving up anything. Because you get access to his table when he done. Amen. You're going to get the mortgage paid. You're going to get the cars paid off. You're going to get to send your kids to college and write a check. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The rich don't need this. They have their own sufficiency. They're not going to bow down and do that. Not very many of them, he said, will ever do that. But the poor will. You ain't got nothing to lose. Everyone say amen. You will find a poor person is a lot more willing to be a servant than a rich person. Amen. That's why the rich young ruler couldn't let go. He said, you're putting your life first, you're going to come in last. He goes, if you'll put your life last, put me first, you'll come in first. That's how my kingdom works. Father, thank you for the kingdom. Thank you for the glory of the kingdom. Thank you for getting us ready to serve the kingdom. Grant us a servant heart in this place, Father. It's a win-win situation with you. If we seek first your kingdom, and your righteousness, then you'll add to us the things that we need to be added in the process. We gladly put you first, Father. We gladly put the kingdom first. We come to receive it, Father, on the behalf of the world. We come to receive. Father, open the door by him that has the key of David. Open thy kingdom. Open the door. We receive the fullness of thy kingdom. The Holy Spirit brings down everything you've inherited, Lord, at the Father's command. Fill us with the kingdom that we may serve it to the world. Bless this church.
Bless our ears that hear these things, Lord. Bless these words you've given us. Bless this wisdom you've granted us. Bring us all into alignment with you, Father. Bring us in a perfect alignment to your will and to your perfect ways. For your wisdom is perfect. Your glory is perfect. Everything is perfect in you, Lord. Everything is perfect in you. It's all perfect in you. Seal these words in our heart, Father. Seal them, Lord. Seal these words. I hear the Spirit of the Lord. It won't be long. You will walk in here. And your pain will leave you. There will be an anointing in this place. The Spirit of grace. The sickness will not be able to stand. There will be a glory where poverty will not be able to stay. There will be a table spread in which I will call you to serve. For this is the hour I'm calling my servant, son, to come and receive the table for humanity. Come and receive what I have already prepared. Come and serve. Come and be filled with my Spirit. Come and give these things to the world. Freely you will be given. Freely give. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
About 2 months of fasting and praying to figure out what, where God wanted me and what he wanted me to do. And so I first came here when Matt Sorger was here, and you know, I was impressed, but I hadn't heard any preaching here yet. So I came back the next Sunday, pretty much knew that was it, just bore witness in my heart. I was in another church for 11 years, and it was hard for me to leave there with all my friends and everything. But I knew there was a change coming, so I came. And as soon as I came to this church, and I felt like, and I told Pastor way back then, I said, I felt like I got myself in alignment for the here and now. And so somebody had come up to me and gave me $40. Another person gave me $60. I didn't ask him for money or nothing. I got a gift card for $100. I'm probably forgetting something here. But then I got this call from a guy from a law firm, said, did you get my checks? And I was like, well, no. And so called my old apartments, and they said they had it there. FedEx, so I'm driving over there thinking, checks? What's he talking about, checks? So I opened up this envelope with all this paperwork in there, and there's two checks in there, one for $830 and the other for about $2,930. It was a pacemaker situation, but I didn't know it was coming, but it came. And so when you get yourself in alignment, it doesn't mean you're not going to have any more problems or challenges, and you got to keep fighting through, but things will happen, and faith works. And you go, well, how did that happen? It's because you got in alignment.
Man, everyone say, align me, Lord. Aligning us into his heart of servitude.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.